This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Mick Schaefer, not a simp. Next!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last hour of the week and the return of a Mick. Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, is back. You are in Tampa because there is the Super Bowl.
That's why.
And then you were gone.
I feel like I'm overmodulated here. Rudy, are you doing anything over there?
Our headphones are so
loud. Is that the deal?
Loud.
Okay, yeah.
Is there a master little knob over there?
Well, and I don't.
I'm just going to take them off.
I never like turning the little knob because it'll take it from I can hear to where, no, I can't hear to where I can hear in one ear.
Yeah.
And now I'm back to not hearing. And now I'm back to both ears. So I'll just rely on Rudy.
As long as Rudy's wearing the headphones, theoretically, like that, he's controlling all the dials and everything. I just took mine off. I like wearing headphones. I like being able to hear myself when we're doing a segment or whatever. But right now, these headphone jacks, your two options are either my ears are going to stop functioning by the end of this hour, or they've already stopped functioning because no audio is coming into my head.
I am twisting a knob that I do not know if it's doing anything.
Whoa. What about, are you helping out with the radio volume though?
Good one.
So
good one.
I liked how unimpressed Rudy was with that joke.
Put that in for Corey's cut.
That was a good one.
Help him out next week.
Corey needs all the help he can get. I do think that worked, Rudy. I think you cranking that knob fixed our audio issues. That's great.
If there's anything the radio industry has taught me, just crank the knob. Something will usually it'll just fix itself.
Yeah. Yep. And we have so many knob crankers around here already.
That's how I would describe half the 810 staff.
Yeah.
Look at that knob cranker over there. What's up, Jason Anderson?
Yeah, half.
If you're having problems with cranking your knob, we have advertisement for
That's
that.
That's true. There might be in this next ad break. We may have a knob cranking.
There's a great chance.
Yeah, there really is. Mick, I've got a lot of very just sort of direct kind of interview questions for you this week, mostly because I was honestly surprised you didn't end up on the postgame podium after the Super Bowl, because you did throw the best block of the weekend for a person from Kansas City.
It's true.
Viral clip, made its rounds, awful announcing picked it up. You really blew up. You've become a national icon.
What?
Because you about threw a dude into the bay who was hopping into your live shot.
What is the how many retweets or favorites do you have to get to be viral?
I think whenever news outlets start picking you up, you skip whatever that minimum is.
Yeah.
But I think I would say if you cross 1,000 retweets, it's definitely gone viral.
Oh, wow. Well, then I go viral a lot.
For 1,000 retweets?
Oh, yeah. Retweets. Sorry, favorites. I'm thinking favorites.
I think that you've got to have, 1,000 retweets, 10,000 likes, whatever, is like legitimately, like it might show up on an explore page kind of viral.
Right.
In terms of like, there's a local viral, right? Where, you know, like, oh, this tweet's really popped off in the Kansas City sports media scene. Like very late last night, I tweeted out a fun Patrick Mahomes joke that's gotten a handful of retweets.
Yes.
That's a nice feeling. But I think you really made something happen.
Clip. It's about 3,000 likes, 500-some retweets.
But again, you get started getting picked up. It's in the internet forever now. If you Google, well, actually, let's see. If you Google awful announcing Mick Schaefer, that's got to be.
Great.
Look at
that.
The
good thing is it was 100% all people like on my side, which never happens on Twitter.
100%.
Especially on viral tweets. Even ones that are awesome, you're going to get people that are just Karens, awful. And Darrens. Guy Karens.
Yeah.
It was 100%. I was shocked by that. I had people like breaking down my
the technique.
Technique. Like, love the extension. Get a better bass next time.
Yeah.
But really, a lot to work with there.
Yeah. My biggest issue was I didn't feel like you finished the play just taking him
but
into
you have
the
to
bay.
Realize, though,
like, you should have just really pushed him into the bay.
I got to stay
throw.
On camera, though.
And
I was only
point.
About two-thirds the way through my live shot, so I had to take that into consideration.
That's
I got PFF grades from people. I got Madden grades from people. I was like a 96. I'm like, yeah, I'll take that, Madden. Thank you.
The headline here is Kansas City reporter Mick Schaefer gives a fan-blocking clinic during Super Bowl 55 live report. The subhead is just, don't do this. And then it's a still if you throw in this dude. I got to say, I don't know who this dude is. I don't know if we found this dude or not yet, but this should be his avatar. Like, he should probably lean
I keep waiting for him to, like, sue me or something. I don't know.
just to have somebody just like randomly show up at 41. He's pretending to be a food delivery guy.
Yeah. Wow.
And then he just hands you. So here's your summons.
It's funny. So the backstory behind that is I was actually having a bad live shot, which is hard to believe.
So
I know.
Rare. Yeah.
I was having a bad live shot. It was basically I'd done a bunch, like 10 in a row, and it was on KMCI. It was on 38th The Spot. So initially I was like, oh, hopefully nobody saw that.
At least no one sees this. Yeah.
And so I'm like, kind of stumbling through it. I don't know. They're like, hey, just give us a scene setter. I think they're running video of fireworks. I'm not sure. So at one point I'm like, I think we have video. You're seeing video of fireworks. So it was just bad. So I was kind of pissed at myself.
Yeah.
And so towards the end, I'm wrapping it up, and I see this guy out of the corner of my eye, and to the left of me is the bay. Behind me is the bay, and then the front of me is the camera. So I'm protected on three sides, but there's 50 people around watching. You never see that. And so they're doing this big fireworks display. It was a horrible place for a live shot. COVID notwithstanding.
Right.
Anytime.
Yeah.
But then throwing COVID, where there's a bunch of people around as well, afterward we're like, well, we're never coming back here for a live shot. And so the only side was to my right side, and there were two trash cans there. I thought about pulling one over to kind of block it off to where, like, we're kind of isolated. I never did, and I should have. That's where he shot the gap.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He assessed our weakness, and I saw him come in the corner of my eye. He had a bright green shirt on. That helped. And then I remember him coming up, and I just shoved, and I was just mad. Like, get out of here. I was mad.
I'm already having a bad
shot. I was mad
at
myself.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, gosh, I kind of went overboard there. I hope I don't get in trouble. And then I rapped, and I could hear Haley laughing back at the station. That kind of made the clip, right? It was because they went back to the two box, and you saw Haley just busting a gut. And so I wrapped it up, tossed it back to her. And I kind of thought nothing of it till like an hour later, and Haley like texted me. She's like, that was the funniest thing ever. I'm like, was that on camera for that? She's like, oh, hell yeah. So she sent me the clip. And I was with our photographer, and we just started dying laughing. Like, that was funny, actually. It came off better than I thought, and so I was like, all right, I'll tweet that out, and it kind of took off.
It is well shot. Like, the I don't know if I could give some sort of cinematography award. I think I spoke to
Tyler Navas, who was our photographer, my photographer there. He was mine.
Your photographer. So, yes.
Whatever, yes. He is an artist, and you had a front light and a back light, and then, of course, we had – off the time, I think that ship was lit up behind us
sure
in
was.
The bay.
It's beautiful.
It was a great location, great shot. And I had like half my face covered with a mask, so everything was great.
The Charlie Hustle mask, bright red.
Perfect, yeah, right?
Here's the thing. First of all, the field awareness, absolutely impeccable. As you said, you knew your situation. You know, I'm good here, I'm good here, I'm good here. If something's going to break bad, it's going to be to my right.
Right.
I'm going to keep an eye. I'm going to mark this dude in the green t-shirt. I'm just going to know that there's a space over here. And then look, Rudy, I think the complaint of if you get a stronger base there, you could have pushed him straight into the ocean, right into the bay behind you.
The ocean wasn't that way. I would have had to pull him.
I think you could have had a really explosive kind of hip turn, palm to the chest, kind of up and throw him into the bay. You could have Hadoukened him, basically.
Yeah, he's a shorter dude, and I mean,
yeah, low center of gravity here, actually.
I think he was okay with getting pushed, and he kind of knew he was in trouble a little bit. And so when I shoved, he kind of kept going. And then, but after, like immediately after, two of his buddies, or I'm assigning them as his buddies, they're two jackasses,
his handlers, yeah.
I get done, and I'm just shaking my head, and two other guys run in, and they're like, hey, go Bucks, in front of the camera, and I go, live shot's over, a-holes, but I didn't censor it. In front of everybody, I look down, there's like a little girl staring at me with her ice cream, like I've just let her down, scarring moment in her life.
You scream so loud it knocked the ice cream off the top of her cone onto the sidewalk below.
So in like the kind of like the post-show kind of report that we always do, Nick Jacobs, who was producing the show, was like, yes, Mick shoved a guy during his live shot. Thankfully, we clipped his mic before he said, live shot's over, a-holes.
It's really powerful. Again, great explosion. If you get, I mean, I know the combine's not going to be the thing that it usually is this year. Yeah,
but there is one. It's virtual.
If you get some sort of invite, you've got the tape here already. There's power in that.
Who
power
would send
in that
the
push.
Tape? Because I like I know occasionally, like, not every, like, right, like, it's a selection process.
We
got to
get you a huddle
decide page
for sure.
Yeah, my son's high school football coaches were tweeting at me.
Yes.
So that's where Aiden learns. That's how he shucks off blockers.
That's
block,
how he learned that.
That's it. It's better, actually.
You could have gone at his arms and then actually brought him down. And you could have gone and tackled one of his buddies. Like, you really could have changed the whole game there. How long were you in Tampa? Did you guys stay through the game?
Yeah, we're not like
because you're
radio,
TV, not radio.
Hey, we're gonna go up until the biggest game on the planet and then leave.
Yeah.
No, we're actually there for the game.
Yeah. Why would you want to be there for the game?
It's weird.
It's not
I know,
the
right?
Fun part.
In this instance,
it wasn't a funny joke. It wasn't fun this year.
But yeah, so what was that like? Because I mean, last year was obviously like it's not just a Super Bowl win, but it's the first one in 50 years, and it's this grand celebration for the weeks leading up to it and the weeks after. And this one went poorly, I would say, from sort of a Chiefs perspective.
Good assessment.
Thank you. I'm in radio.
Hot take.
I wasn't at the game. I was here. But.
It was the opposite of last year, like 180. So 360, and then another 180 on top of that.
Yeah, you're dizzy and facing the wrong direction.
Yes, that was it. So, no, it's horrible. Just as, you know, when you're in the market, you like when your team wins. You would prefer that. But then the way they lost, and then the post-game coverage really doesn't get cut down that much when you lose. So we were on the air 4 hours afterward talking about that. And I remember last year in Miami, Kevin and I on the field, Kevin Holmes and I, during a break, we turned to each other. We both were like, man, can you imagine us having to do this after a loss? I'm like, yeah, I know. God, the humanity.
Never. We'd never have to do that.
God, that didn't happen. And then it did a year later in the horrible way. Just a not close game and the worst game ever of the Mahomes era. Maybe not the worst he's played, but production-wise, and no touchdowns and single-digit points and losing that bad to a team that you already handled that year. So bad is bad. It's bad. I mistimed it. So the TV station we were working with is literally right across the street at the Super Bowl. But across the street at the Super Bowl can still be a long way away. For instance, we decided to drive. Mm-hmm. It took us an hour and a half to go across. I could stand on the balcony where we were doing live shots and throw a baseball and hit Raymond James Stadium. But to actually get there, driving took an hour and a half. So we're like, I'm going to walk back. And I kind of timed it. It was going to be like 30, 35 minutes of my walk across the street because it takes forever to get out of the press box, especially now in COVID, that you have one lane of arrows that's going to take you out of the stadium. And of course, it doesn't take you out of it takes you on the wrong side of the stadium. You have to go all the way around. I have to go around more barriers, more cones just to get into the neighborhood to walk to the station. So, about 30 minute walk. So, I'm like, well, and I have to be on the air. It's some, I don't know, stupid TV rule they made up thousands of years ago that you have to, the sports director has to be on air right after the game. I'm like, why? We have 100 people on this show. Maybe you could let me watch the end of the game. So normally, like, which is the case this year in for Chiefs games and any other Chiefs game before that, really, you miss the last part of the game because you're walking down to the field.
Yeah.
Or in this case, this year, I was driving back to the stadium, so I missed the fourth quarter. And so I'm like, I'm not going to miss the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Right. It's going to be the most important quarter. I actually said it like that. I should have known when I said it like that.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to go during halftime. I will miss the weekend, which people tell me that was fine.
Yep.
And I missed that and not the fourth quarter. And I'm going to watch the second half back at the station. So that's what I did. And then the whole fourth quarter, I'm like, wow, I could have been walking right now. I did not. I could have watched the weekend, had another meal in the press box for free. And then come during this god-awful fourth quarter for the Kansas City Chiefs. That was my night. And then we talked about the loss for a few hours, and that was horrible.
Now, what kind of food is Super Bowl, like, serving? Because obviously, like,
COVID press box food.
COVID press box, but, like, you obviously, like, hey, it's not a knock. I love chicken strips and a full sausage, but, like, it's the same thing every week with the Chiefs.
It's more than that. It's the same food, but they box it up for you, obviously, right? It's not a buffet.
Sure.
We're not all, like, coughing all over the green beans, right?
Yeah.
So,
which you probably shouldn't be doing
anyway. Right, yes. But especially not now. I think it was, like, there was a brisket. There was a chicken deal, which I got. There's so many different servings. You had your appetizers. You had the salad. It's so many desserts.
You had options, though.
Lots of options. That's, it was great. That's nice. I missed that because none of us had been in a press box. Actually, I was in the Vegas press box. It was so...
And they just handed you a little dime bag because it was Vegas.
No, Vegas was great. Oh, Vegas, because it's their first year.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
It's so weird.
I'm saying that sounds great.
Yeah, Vegas had no fans. And Vegas had no fans, but they allowed people in the press box. Arrowhead had lots of fans, but nobody in the press box, minus those essential newspaper guys. Mm-hmm. And so that was like my second press box experience of the, which I'm shocked at the last year in Miami, I couldn't get in the press box. I was in the overflow out there in the stands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This year during COVID, kind of an upset was in there.
Less people got sent down, I imagine.
Yeah,
still, huh?
Do with it.
Does really bum me out. Did you go back and rewatch the weekend at some point? I was hoping for an in-person weekend watch, but you went through.
I went back.
You revisited it. You looked at the tape. You reviewed the film.
I did. Last year after the Miami game, I was all excited. I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna watch the entire Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Get the perspective of everybody watching at home and hear what they all had to say, like the announcers and everything, the in-game stats and the graphics and all that stuff, and the commercials.
Yeah.
So the day after, I took the day off, and I just watched the whole thing. It was awesome. This year, I'm like, I don't want to watch that game whatsoever.
No.
My kids, who are obviously savvier than me with it, they're like, well, Dad, just go to this 15-minute YouTube clip of all the commercials they put together. So I watched those, and then I found the weekend as well and watched that. And so I feel like a halftime show now, unless you're J-Lo, and Shakira, right?
The tongue thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody like that, right? Maybe some Karens
didn't.
But
the kids.
Do you worry about the kids? Oh,
right.
What about the kids, Nick?
But I feel like halftime shows at the Super Bowl now is like being president.
Yeah.
No, never are you going to get even close to a majority liking. You're going to at least half of the people are going to hate it.
60-40 is a miracle. That would be a miracle. Yeah.
Yes. And really, if you have 40% liking it, you've probably done your job.
It's probably fine.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. It was fine. I'm not one of those guys that say, you remember Prince at Super Bowl whatever? I don't remember. What was it? I have no idea. Whitney Houston, I don't remember what Super Bowl that was. She wouldn't even have time, right? She was the national anthem.
She didn't do a halftime. Yeah. No, I think she did an anthem.
I don't remember. I don't care. It's music. I really don't care enough to have an opinion. I thought there were some good things. Like, I thought it was kind of cool when he's like wandering around. Like, I'm like, that's a live shot, or I think it's a live shot.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how are they doing that?
Yeah,
he's like in this little funhouse maze. Yeah. I'm thinking about the camera guy. I'm like, is he just holding it right here? Is it like a body cam? How's it? And then the guys with jock straps on their faces. I'm like, that's a little weird. I feel like maybe we're trying too hard there. But then I feel like when he got on the field, that felt more normal. He's on the field.
Some people wearing red got into the end zone, which was nice to see. Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see.
It did give us a great meme.
It's
a really good meme.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It hurts, but the Patrick Mahomes, as he drops back, and it's just the weekend just looking around everywhere. Yeah. Just like, I was like,
was
this
really
hurts, but it's really funny.
Yeah. So that's my take, which is not much of one on
no
the weekend.
No guests for the halftime show this year either, which was a big upset. Yeah.
They usually have one, right?
There were Daft Punk rumors, maybe a Travis Scott mention. You could bet on this, so I might know because of that. No, you know, no action. Nobody showed up, so it's fun. You know, whatever. The $3,000 I put on Daft Punk mercifully came right back to me. But if I let you, that's probably a COVID thing. I'm guessing. I want to bring more people in or whatever. If I let you pick for next year's Super Bowl when the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl in LA, I think.
Yeah.
If I give you main act and like their featuring artist or whatever, who would you lean towards right now? If you alone get to choose, but you do want to appeal to roughly half of the viewing audience.
Pearl Jam, Chili Peppers. That's it, I think.
Interesting.
I think Eddie Vedder's originally from Southern California.
Though, right?
I mean like, they're out of Seattle, but
the only thing with the Chili Peppers were is because remember they did it 2 years ago that they guessed? So I don't know, like, can they do it again?
Yeah,
they were 2 years ago.
Yeah, they were like 2 years
ago.
See,
I don't even know this stuff.
It was Red Hot Chili Peppers and
or is it the whole band?
Oh, that's a good point.
I'm not sure. I feel like Pearl Jam's skewing a little old. I feel like, no, you're right. Red Hot Chili Peppers were there along with Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars, that's who it was.
It was headlined by Bruno Mars.
Which was, I really
liked.
Was
that the Atlanta one?
That was, I think that might have been.
New Jersey, MetLife.
Was that Seattle when they destroyed the Broncos?
Super Bowl 48.
I think it might have been Seattle v. Denver.
Was that one in MetLife?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. You have the Super Bowl. You just gave me the number.
I know.
You got to have the teams right
there. You would think, but I'm on specifically the page for the halftime show.
So you said Super Bowl 48.
I got it. Rudy was right. Rudy's always right.
Heck yeah. The only reason why I remember that, because I was in Kentucky at the time, and I just remember watching it. I was pretty sure I watched it in the house. I lived in only 1 year in Kentucky, and it was the Seattle.
Humble brag about Kentucky.
Seattle Denver year. Yeah. That was
the line
was
in that
blowout.
Game was Denver -2, and they
over.
Lost that game 43-8.
That was the safety over the head, the first play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a brutal game.
At least it wasn't that. I mean, what we saw was pretty much that, but at least the team that we were rooting for had Patrick Mahomes on it.
The team that we rooted for was,
neck
in the game for like a quarter.
Yeah.
And then really the second quarter, most of it, and then the end of the half happened, and it was done.
Kings of Leon, I like them.
You're going very.
Get somebody.
You want to get Clint cut at that just so we can have that?
Nope.
You know who I'm surprised hasn't been a feature? I don't think it would be the
Kings
main
of
act.
Leon?
Not. I feel like close.
What's the song thing?
Use somebody.
I feel like they're the.
I can't hear it in my head. Don't like play.
Rudy
it from
probably
your
knows
phone,
it.
Though. Who should it be,
Rudy?
They're like, I would call them maybe knockoff Kings of Leon, but they're more mainstream.
Ooh, can
mainstream.
I guess who knockoff Kings of Leon
Killers?
Is?
The Killers?
The Killers would be great.
I was thinking the Killers.
The Killers
are not knockoff Kings
Brandon
of Leon.
Brandon Flowers.
No. But,
I feel like Kings of Leon are more knockoff Killers.
And I agree. Like,
I was going to hold the Killers
the group,
and also Panic!
The group
at the
I'm thinking of, I think, is actually more.
They've gotten very popular.
Is more mainstream than Kings of Leon, but I think part of that is like they sold out, people say.
Okay.
Imagine Dragons.
Can't do that.
That's
can't have that.
I don't want it, but
can't
I'm surprised
like
they haven't
kid's
done
favorite
it.
Band.
They
Sorry.
Did
they
a
do,
college football national championship game or something.
I've seen them talk about this where they literally make songs. Like usually on an album, at least one song is with like ESPN in mind of like, hey,
oh, really?
ESPN is going to use this song for college football games. And so we're going like,
Thunder, the lightning, and the thunder.
I forget their main singer. He was basically just like, yeah,
doesn't
like we're
matter.
Sellouts, and I'm fine with it because guess how much money I have, and my wife and my kids, they ain't going hungry. He's just like, I'm fine with being a sellout.
Sellout. What a dumb term.
Imagine Dragons and Lil Wayne.
Everybody's
did a halftime.
Gold.
Yeah.
College
how about Creed? Off. They did that one back in the day, the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Creed's getting hot again all of a sudden.
No, what? They are. They're still
together. They actually are like doing a. They were on their lead singer was on like three different podcasts maybe a month ago because I think they might be doing a reunion tour.
Really?
Yeah. He was on with like Kyle Brandt. He did that like 10 questions with Kyle Brandt.
Oh, yeah, Scott Stapp.
Yes, that's his name.
I like.
Said his kids make fun of him all the time. Like, they pretend to sing like him, and then
oh,
his kids' friends do it, too.
That's hilarious. Zach Brown Band. I like them a little bit.
I will.
That's about as close to country as I'll get.
Mm-hmm. I will sing exactly four words of With Arms Wide Open, because it's just, With Arms Wide Open. It's just that.
That's the part
that's
everybody makes
title.
Fun of him.
Yeah. I would take just them doing that song at a halftime show, and then it's just like Beyonce.
So like,
reason.
Yeah, they're not the main act. They're the featured guest.
Yeah.
Like you bring them on for like
Scott
one
Stapp
song.
Just comes
yeah,
down
it's
and goes,
just him.
Like,
just
is he
him.
Okay? That doesn't sound healthy.
And then he leaves.
I feel like the Killers would be. They did one of those weird, like, the Monday Night Football halftime sort of shows that's pre-recorded but still doesn't sound very good that they were doing during Monday Night Football this year. They did the one for the game in Vegas. I don't remember who they were playing. I don't think it was the Chiefs game because I think I was watching it at home. It was weird, but I feel like they could pull it off. I'd be happy with the Killers.
Yeah, they did. They performed the Raiders game. They performed Mr. Brightside during halftime.
Mm, nice.
Great it was
song.
A weird. It's a weird,
great song.
Vibe
great song
incredible yeah. song.
I love the Killers.
Is this segment still going on, or did we just talk about?
We may have stopped
halftime.
Ago.
We probably should have stopped 5 minutes ago. Let's take a break. I'll ask more. I got fashion questions from Mick Schaefer. We've got sports questions. We've got all sorts of things with Mick Schaefer. 41 Action News. Whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You're right. I'll get one too tomorrow.
All right, you want to come with me?
Yeah, can we do a double?
Do you want the pine cone, or do you want to do something your
own? Think he can, while he's doing you right-handed, he can do me left-handed. That sounded horrible. Oh!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah.
Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, still with us here, closing out a weird week. I feel because there's been this weird sort of transitional period, Mick, where we had football season, and then we had Super Bowl, the Super Bowl happened, and then we had the post-Super Bowl kind of like come down, breakdown on the other sense for everybody. And then now it's like little off-season look-ahead talk, P's and C's. We're in pitchers and catchers territory, but I'm not sure I'm all the way for Royals season. But the Andrew Benintendi trade was some Royals news. How's the sports desk been feeling the last week or so?
I like it kind of because obviously one of the Chiefs to win, but I'm ready when football season's done. I'm ready for other stuff. I feel like we need an offseason. Like Corey Anderson, I think, wants football like 24/7, 365.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like there needs to be a break in everything. You can get too much of everything.
For sure.
And so for the longest time, you guys, I would wait until the end of football season to really get into college basketball.
Yeah.
Well, for the longest time in this town, that was like December, early
100%,
December.
Yeah.
Because 100%. College football was over and pretty much the Chiefs season was over.
Yep.
And so I got a handle on like the local teams and the local conferences and nationally much earlier than like February 15th, which is what it is now.
Yep.
I've tried to play catch up on like, okay, who are the better teams, better players? And it's not KU or Mizzou, no, as it turns out.
Yeah.
K-State. But
it's definitely not K-State.
But I've enjoyed, getting back to other sports.
Not
and
Kentucky.
Then the PNCs. I'm gonna steal that one right there.
That's all yours. I think I stole from somebody. We're all just stealing from each other.
And so, yes, to break off and do other things. I'm excited about the Royals.
But they're also still, it's like 7 weeks to opening day. We were talking to, we had Lesky on last night. And
month and a half.
That still feels like kind of a while because I was like, spring training, we're pretty much there. We're not quite. They're still a minute away. But the college basketball thing is exactly where I've ended up. We've had a couple of KU guests the last week and change. And for both of them, my question was like, all right, what did we miss? Because you guys cover them specifically. I have been loosely aware of the fact that they're not that good, and I've watched some of them, and now it's like, oh God, it's the season's almost over.
Right.
KU's got 3 games left.
Yep.
Baylor has I don't know how many games left because I paid enough attention to that Baylor
should be about 15, might be zero.
I was going to say probably zero because KU
has the most wins in the Big 12.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
more
make
than
any
Baylor,
sense. It's unbelievable.
Who's 9-0 and they're 10-6?
Should they be the champion?
They've talked about that.
Cook us up a take, Mick. The Big 12 champion.
I would be absolutely fine if Baylor's crowned Big 12 champion because they have been dominant when they've been on the floor.
It's a really tough argument to pick up that, like, actually, KU's better.
Yeah.
Because we watch those two teams play each other.
And I'm not convinced KU's better than Oklahoma, better than Texas, better than Texas Tech. We'll find out this weekend there. So I think I don't know if they're getting right, KU, or if they've just played Iowa State, uh-huh. Kansas State, Oklahoma State at home, their last 4 games. I feel like that has a lot to do with it as well.
Is anything on planet Earth more predictable than over the course of this year, you get KU is a tire fire, Mizzou is a rocket ship, and then they are going to end the season with KU severely outranking Missouri? It, to me, feels like the most – if you would have given me just sort of that odds to bet on that right at the beginning of the year or whenever Mizzou jumped KU, I would have put all of my GameStop stock leftovers on that prop.
That's on Mizzou this year, though, man.
Yeah.
They have given games away. They're a better team than KU. Just talent, they've got depth. They've got experience. They got playmakers. They got a point guard. They got a big man, which is crazy to say. Tillman's actually turned into one of the best big men in the SEC. And
not having him for a couple of these crummy losses is only kind of fair.
He'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be needed. But you know what? They had these same second-half issues with him in a lot of games. And so that's on Mizzou. This was their opportunity to kind of – I mean, KU, even if they win 2 of their next 3, win a couple of the Big 12 tournament, you're still looking at a team that's probably a – 4 seed, I'm guessing, maybe at best.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Mizzou has the firepower this year in what is a wild year in college basketball when none of the Blue Bloods are any good, and this was their year to be a top four, top three seed in the tournament, and they're certainly at this point not trending that way anymore.
Do you feel any sort of confidence about KU? Not even like in them being actually good, but in literally anything. Is there something where you say, I believe that I know this thing about Kansas basketball?
That's a good question.
Because there might not be anything.
Well, I mean, negatives. I feel like if there's a game in the 80s, they're not going to win it.
Yeah.
I feel...
Unless it's against Iowa State, which they probably will not have happen
I feel, although, and I don't know if I can, you know, say this absolute, but I could see this being a very annoying postseason for teams and fans that hate KU in that, like, maybe KU is figuring things out and they win two of the next three. They win the Big 12 tournament. They slide in as a five seed or something like that, and they get to the Elite Eight to where it's like you didn't expect it. But, I mean, I'm not going to – we asked the question on Sound Off a couple weeks ago, like, okay, who do you trust more to win, go further in the tournament? And this is when Mizzou was rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Mizzou or KU? This is when KU was diving, Mizzou was rolling. And my answer to that, and pretty much everybody's, was, it's like, I think Missouri's the better team, but I have a lot more trust in KU and Bill Self, a team that's been there over and over again, to figure out a way to get some wins in the Big 12 tournament. So I could – and the post in the NCAA tournament. So I could absolutely see KU make a run because they do a lot.
Also, just the rest of the teams in the nation in general. I mean, it's Gonzaga, it's Baylor. And then I do think people, and part of this because they didn't play for a month, I think Michigan's also really, really good. Yeah. They just didn't play for a long time. But, like, there's a lot of KUs out there.
A lot of, well, my son and I were talking about it. We were like, he's like, man, all the Blue Bloods are down this year. I'm like, I know. Like, KU, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Michigan State? He goes, Michigan State? They're blue blood? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, they play that Champions Classic every year. They've won a couple of national titles. He goes,
modern blue blood.
He goes, they're green, though. I'm like, oh, you think blue
blood is blue.
Literal? He's like, what is it? I'm like, no, it's just a term for a great school or something.
Yeah.
Then I start thinking, I'm like, pretty much all the blue bloods are blue.
You didn't mention UCLA, which UCLA. is a historic blue blood.
Yeah.
Majority blue.
Should have.
It is possible that it could be that that's why they came up with
and
the phrase.
Earlier in that conversation, he goes, does Villanova count as blue blood? I'm like, that's a good question, but I think they're kind of a new blue blood.
He was talking about
the color.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was talking about their colors.
Villanova's a new blue blood. Michigan State's like, they're not new, but they're more modern because they since Izzo.
Yeah.
UCLA's fallen off.
Honestly, I think.
And
Michigan
same with Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana, and they're not a blue team, but they're one of the blue bloods.
They are.
But they're
but I mean, like,
now.
Okay, how's – I mean, KU is – I think everybody would count as one, but it's only three national titles, right, compared with the national titles of Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky, which are far more.
I mean, that's why
and
Villanova
UCLA.
Has moved themselves up there now. They're winning titles now.
Three total or four?
I think it's three now.
Yeah,
I think because I think they've tied
the
KU.
Well, they had the one in 85, and they have two.
Yeah, they have two in the last like five or six years. Yep.
Do you know the origins of the term blue blood?
Let's hear it. Is my 14-year-old
right?
I don't
know if we want to know it, honestly.
My 14-year-old.
It is correct? A term that does feel like it could have like an origin story where you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, well, sure
does.
Okay. We don't like it these days.
Sure
like,
it does.
That feels right.
It sure does. We have gone down the rabbit hole of playing origins
like
of the idiom on this show a number of times.
It's a purity thing, kind of.
It,
like,
yeah, it's
you know.
Not what you'd like to see, probably. So this is from phrases.org.uk, which seems
legit.
Seems legit.
Yeah.
Blue blood is a literal translation of the Spanish sangre azul. This was the designation attributed to some of the oldest and proudest families of Castile who claim to have never intermarried with Moors, Jews, or other races.
Oh, it's going to be something racist.
Yeah.
The expression probably originated in the blueness of the veins of people of fair complexion as compared with those of dark skin. That was certainly the understanding in the 19th century, and there seems little reason to doubt it. In 1834, the Anglo-Irish children's writer Maria Edgeworth published a novel entitled Helen, which reiterates that opinion. Someone from Spain of high rank and birth of the sangre azul, the blue blood.
Here we go.
I thought there was a chance there might be a Game of Thrones Lannister theme behind that.
It's
but
just racism.
Just a racism.
It's just racism.
Yeah.
It's just your veins look blue if you have lighter skin.
You're also sneaky athletic.
Wow. It's almost always bad when you find the origins of pretty much any idiom.
Yes.
You want to give me another one, Mick? What's an idiom that you can
as the Spanish say Fortiva Atletica.
What does that mean?
Sneaky Spanish.
Sneaky
Spanish. Sneaky athletic.
That's stupid.
Fortiva Atletica. Or Fortivo Atletico for the masculine.
The phrases.org.uk has a phrase finder.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Anything off the top of your head is off the
Don't
top
look
of your
up
head, I think.
Caught red-handed. Don't look
that
one up.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
What about getting gypped, too?
No, that one. No, I don't know. Yeah, I knew that. I am going to Google. It's like whenever someone says, don't go to Urban Dictionary and look up the phrase pine tree computer, which are two things I can see right now. And it's like, oh, it's whatever you bleep the bleep of the bleppity bloop. Like, well, I can't read that on the radio.
I know that.
Is this not about blood, basically, Mick, is sort of my question. Is that not, is being caught red-handed not just being caught with blood on your hands?
No, it's a Native American slur.
Is it really?
I believe so.
Washington still needs a new name. It feels like they got too much good press for moving away from one racial slur, and maybe they could go to another. The Washington Red Hands. Oh, man. That's just not great.
Took us a dark hole, Josh.
It's just pretty much all of these are going to back.
Any phrase that is from, you know, the 1800s or earlier, it's usually not good.
Almost anything from the 1800s or earlier is not very good.
Electricity, that was all right.
There's probably some reason that
Benjamin
electricity
Franklin,
is also
great. President
a great
in
president.
U.S. history.
Yeah, who's your top five presidents based on name alone?
Just their name.
Just their name alone. We did this on Monday. We did our power rankings of our top five.
Some reminders. I think it's a great question.
I'm gonna see if I can find my notepad. Rudy, you can start.
Well, so I had Willie Franklin, Will Franklin, Billy Franklin.
So you're okay. The slang terms.
Well, so Rudy has some,
William Franklin.
Rudy's two favorite presidents are Alexander Hamilton and Benjamin Franklin, and so that's caused some confusion. I'll tell you what I had. Number five for me is William Henry Harrison. Just strong three names. Mm-hmm. Pop, pop, pop. It's powerful. Number four, James A. Garfield. Makes me think of the funny orange cat who loves lasagna and hates Mondays. I love it. Number three, and the most modern of the presidents, because anyone after this makes me nervous, George H.W. Bush. You get two initials in the middle.
It's pretty good.
It's strong.
Number two, Millard Fillmore. I don't know why. I've just always liked the name Millard Fillmore.
Simpsons character or something
like that. Yeah, it really does. And my number one was Franklin D. Roosevelt, basically because of the power of FDR. Mm-hmm. That's of all, you got LBJ, you got JFK. Those are fine. Nothing is FDR in terms of best presidential initials.
I did always like Ronald Reagan because it's the double R, the alliteration.
Right.
You get that RR.
Yeah, alliteration's excellent.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan's a strong one. I'm going to go with
And Ronald's just like, you'll see a lot of Ronalds out there, but
I think it's
a little strong.
I think the scary fast food clown, though.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Strong.
Ulysses.
Yeah.
I mean,
powerful.
How often do you see that?
Do you know that his name wasn't actually Ulysses S. Grant? I learned this on President's Day. His first name started with an H. Can't remember what it was. He didn't like the idea of having the initials spell the word hug. And so he had his name screwed up on some military form where it added an S. He just went with it.
That's funny.
It's a powerful name, though.
Powerful name. I'm going to go with Abraham Lincoln. That's an obvious one. I think a lot of people will pick that. But my son's name is Abram. So I feel like I've got to
go
with
not
that.
Abraham, Abram.
Abram.
So an apostrophe in the middle?
No. Okay. There's just A-B-R-A-M. There was a guy on Road Rules named that. I'm like, I'll name my kid that. True story.
I could name my kid after this president or this guy on Road Rules.
Yep.
You went Road Rules.
I did go Road Rules. I'm going to pick, trying to find another one that's, again, Woodrow Wilson, strong alliteration. Woody Wilson.
What's his middle name?
It was Hiram Ulysses Grant.
Hug. He didn't like it, apparently. So good. Do you think Woodrow Wilson had a middle name that started with a W?
Ooh, that'd be good if he did.
I can't Google things very easily because of my computer's internet issues here.
I'm having some issues,
And when
issues
you did
too,
Google,
yeah.
you'd put www in there?
My hope was that I might. His name is Thomas Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, so Woodrow was the middle name.
All right, he's off the list.
Teddy Roosevelt's kind of cool.
Teddy's really good. Mm-hmm. It's and even Theodore is also very mm-hmm. strong. He's got the actual name, nickname, double whammy. You love to see it.
Two of mine are going to be Grover Cleveland and Grover Cleveland.
Yeah, that's good. Sure. Who was president between Clevelands? Do you know off the top of your head?
Benjamin Harrison.
You just knew that. Not on your phone right now.
No,
at all.
It's on my
maybe
phone
Cincinnati.
Right now.
Did you say maybe Cincinnati?
I did.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, I got to ask Mick about his shoes.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I'm an easy to peg what I'm doing, and it's golf. My cover is exactly like the book.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last segment of the hour, last hour of the week with Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News. During the break, we were talking about presidential assassinations because we were talking about presidents last segment.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy and I both only knew half of the presidents who had been assassinated. We had Lincoln and JFK, and I've already forgotten. There was James A. Garfield.
And William McKinley.
William McKinley.
Yep. In 35 years, 36
Theodore,
years,
Roosevelt was attempted.
We lost three presidents in assassinations.
I have some important news that I've done some original research that I'm really excited to share with you both right now. James A. Garfield was assassinated on September 19th, 1881. I have Googled what day of the week
no.
was September 19th,
no.
1881.
No.
Garfield was killed on a Monday.
No.
He hates a Monday.
He hates Mondays!
Do you think that's part of the
I have no
origin
idea.
Of
Is there any chance that Jim Davis
I mean, I honestly,
knows
I would
that
say
James
yes.
Garfield died on a Monday?
I would say there's a chance.
But I feel like everybody hates Mondays, whether McKinley was killed on a Monday or a Friday.
Garfield, though.
Garfield. So, I mean, basically, it's a 1 in 7 shot.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe they just got lucky.
I think there's a great chance of that, but I feel like I just won a 1 in 7 bet by doing the cursory Googling to find out that on a Monday, James A. Garfield perished, which I wasn't rooting for until just now, and now I apparently was. Well, also not a leap year, according to onthisday.com, which I have doubled. I've now quadruple checked to make sure this is factually accurate, and it sure appears to be. This is fabulous. I have a question about the shoes you were wearing in Tampa, Mick.
Yep.
I need you to explain. They look very much like you forgot to take your business shoes with you to Tampa, and so you are wearing the shoes that you just wore on the plane.
75 degrees in Florida. We're on the water. There's no such thing as business shoes.
They looked almost slipperish in a way that really? I was not. The slippers with the slacks is a unique, powerful look that I was not familiar with.
They're called Dudes. They sell them at Scheels. They're pretty awesome, so comfortable, stylish, conversation starters. They are the official shoe of Johnson County dads.
I am no longer in Johnson County, and I am not a dad. Can I get these shoes?
Absolutely.
If they are this $59
at Scheels, baby. Great price. All different designs now. When you first got them, it was just kind of gray colors. Now, all sorts of colors. They have fun with some ornate designs on the heels. It's a trip. I recommend them.
I'm looking at the website right now because, as previously discussed just amongst the three of us before the hour kicked off, Rudy and I don't go into stores. We order things and have them mm-hmm. show up at our doorstep.
I feel like, and that's not even like a COVID thing, right? That's always,
no, I was
it's
doing
been
this.
Exacerbated by COVID.
I was
what,
doing
can I say,
this.
Can I say exacerbate
What'd
on the radio?
You do during COVID?
Yeah. Okay.
There's been a lot of exacerbation.
I was doing this for years before.
Rudy's
COVID.
Over here twisting the knobs and exacerbating the situation. It's really unfortunate.
I have 10 years experience of
not
exacerbating and buying stuff online.
I'm a doer.
Jeff Bezos didn't get this rich by all of us deciding we still like to go to stores.
Exactly.
Ooh, there are some that are just like kind of just, you know, a bold color, like a nice Pompleian red. Maybe I get a fur green. What are they? Look sort of like, again, they look very much like slippers, maybe moccasins. We also have like 15 seconds left.
They're very comfortable. They're like Uggs, very comfy, and they're stylish, kind of like boat shoes.
Are boat shoes stylish?
Bye, Michelle.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.